I want to ask you, who of you know dot to dot, how to connect dots? I wonder if I can get the first slide up there, the first one. Those are not ants, they are dots. Who of you want to venture, if you would start to connect dots, what picture would that make? Come, let your imagination go. A hoender haan. Kan julle dit sien? Okay, I'm getting somewhere. Maybe if I add numbers to it, would that help you? Okay. Enige iemand? Hoender? Seekoei? I've given you the numbers. It should be easy. Okay. I'm going to let Martin there start connecting the dots. And as soon as you think that you know what it is, just put up your hand. Okay, Martin's got. Okay. It's a house. Anybody? A rocket? A clock. It's a clock. Anybody else? Are you seeing the clock? A wall clock. Anybody? Are you seeing it? Yes. Okay, so why am I showing you a dot-to-dot picture? Why am I showing you numbers? Why am I showing you the connections? Because this is pretty much how life is. Our life is made up of a series of events that are connected to one another. But sometimes in our walk with Jesus, we see it as different dots that are totally unrelated. We come to church and we hear one message, and then we listen to another message, then we listen to Henta's message on sons and fathers, and then we listen to Niels on contentment, and then we jump back to Jankor about one another, and sometimes we don't connect the dots. And then our lives as Christians don't make sense because we don't understand the bigger picture that God wants to paint. We must realize that God is not into 52 sermons a year. God is into a process. God is into a journey with His people. God has always been a God that has journeyed with His people and is painting a picture. Even when He revealed Himself in the Old Testament, it was also when He revealed His name, it was connected to a picture. He was Elohim, creator. He was Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He always revealed Himself to paint a picture to show us what He is like. And in the same way, if we become consumers of sermons, if we simply listen to sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, and we don't apply that word in our lives, and we don't see the process of God in our lives, we will become confused. And we will sometimes try and make up pictures that are not there. Like the hoender. Like the house. We sometimes jump to conclusions. We sometimes presume things, but we don't understand the process of God. And we must realize that if God has placed us in a body, if God has placed us in a church, God is on a journey with that church. And in that journey, He wants to reveal Himself to us. And if we get better at connecting the dots, if we start seeing the process of God, we will understand our place in that picture. Okay. So I'm going to try and connect a couple of dots this morning. Okay, and I'm going to use several things, and I'm going to use several of the sermons that have been preached in the last month or so, ever since Jan Kor came, and then Entas preached for 2 weeks, then Niels preached on contentment last week. But I want to go a little bit further back, and I wonder if I can get the next slide. Amos 3 verse 7 says the following, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secrets to His servants, the prophets." And the next one is 2 Chronicles 20:20, "And they rose early." This is the story of Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. "And they went early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe His prophets, and you will succeed.'" Okay, so this morning I want to connect what is happening in Shofar, what is happening in Wellington, what is happening in South Africa and in the world. I want to connect it to something eternal, that we will know that we are part of something bigger than trying to get a hall full of people in Wellington. We must understand that there has been a plan in the heart of God forever. There is an eternal plan. There is an eternal church. There is a church that is bigger than Shofar. There is a church that is bigger than any church, denomination, or grouping in the world. That is the eternal church of God, registered, the church of the firstborn, registered in heaven. And that is our primary membership. Now, I believe in local church and I love local church, but we must understand that we are part of something bigger than what is happening in Wellington. We must understand that there is a plan and a purpose in the heart of God, that when we understand this and see the greatness of God's plan, that we will have a sense that God is at work. God is at work. And if we can't trace what we do back to a prophetic word or the word of God, we will sometimes start struggling to understand what God is doing. And we will get perplexed. We will get stuck. We will not understand the picture. Then we will start presuming what the picture should look like. Now, I want to say to you that Wellington goes back further than Andrew Murray. I love Andrew Murray. I love what he's done. I love his literature. But I want to say to you that God had more in mind, and God was before Andrew Murray. And prophetic words have, you can just read the Bible. Jesus fulfilled so many prophetic words. And God uses the prophetic word to establish something that He wants to accomplish. The thing is with God, God's kind of this way. When God starts something, He finishes it. Who of you have started things and not finished it? Okay. God is not like that. God doesn't chop and change His mind. When God said He will do something, He will do it. And He will wait for the people that would respond to what He wants to do by faith, and says, "Yes, I believe in that, and I'm going to be part of that, and I'm going to give my life to do that." Now, I'm going to take you back just into the next slide. This is a prophetic word that was spoken in 1997. It was spoken over the town of Wellington. It says, "Wellington is not the least among the towns of this world spiritually. It will become a city. It will become a training center for apostles and prophets. Much revelation will be available here. People will come here, great men of God, and write books and theses." Next one. "People from all over the world are going to talk about Wellington of the Cape. I must go there. God told me to go and write a book there." People will just draw from the revelation knowledge that's available there. "They will come and stand under my tree of life." Next one. "God says He's looking for a group of people that He can fill with His Spirit and pour out His glory. He will establish His church through them. It will not just be a normal church, but a training and a research center that has worldwide scope and flavor." Skillful people will man the center, doctors, teachers, professors. But God says He's looking for clean vessels to carry the Ark of the Covenant, His glory, into Wellington. Now, this was not spoken over one church. This was spoken over our town. This was spoken, in fact, over our valley. Now, it wasn't me. I wish it was. I just received the word. I didn't give the word. But this word was spoken in 1997. And you know, God, that word, until it is fulfilled, that word is waiting for a people that would say, "Yes, God, that's us. We believe your word, God. And I'm gonna give my life. And here is where Jan Kor's sermon in. I'm gonna start living not for myself, but I'm gonna live for others. I'm gonna be a part of that people, God." And God speaks through the ages. And I'm sure that there are many, many more prophetic words that have been released. These are just two that I picked out. A couple of months ago, Fred May came to here and he spoke a prophetic word. If I can just go to the next one. Intercession is going to explode in this church. I want the men to come as sons of God with extraordinary powers of the environment over creation by the spirit of Elijah. As the explosion is on its way, that this place will become a city on a hill. Did you hear that? Where Wellington will not be the least. It will become a city. God speaking. Okay, let's go on. I pray for its walls. I pray for the watchman on the walls, the restoration of the wall, that this will become a safe space for every person needing and seeking refuge. Only when the fear of God comes does the power of God of His redemption come. Father, I thank you what you're doing in this place. Next one. I thank you for the multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision that are on their way in. You can get excited about that. That's fine. When I walked in here, that was Fred said, I felt God say, this place is a destination. Destination. People will come. Next one. Don't discourage people that come from a long way. Don't send them back where they come from. God says, this place is about to become a destination. First my body, then the town. It's about to become a destination, a sought after destination because of my blessing and my favor that rests here because of the obedience of my people. This was this year, 2016. Now this is not about elevating a prophet, but this is to just lift up the importance of prophecy. To lift up the importance of prophecy as a guiding line of what God wants to do. And God has brought you here. And God has brought you to a time such as this, for a word such as this, to become the manifestation of that word. God has not just come so that we will ooh and ah about the word, and the word is ooh and ah, but that we would say, yes, God, we believe. We believe, God, that you have spoken this, and we believe in your prophets, and therefore there will be a succeeding. Amen? Now, please hear me in this. I'm not placing prophecy above the word of God. If there's anything in there that contradicts the word of God, let's get it out of there. And I'm sure that if you go and look at prophecies that has been spoken over this town and over this valley, you will see many, many common threads that run right through it. But because we are not clued in and we are not tuned into these words that God have spoken, the word of God, there's a portion of scripture says where there's no vision, the people perish some. And the Message Bible says that where people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And isn't that true? When we don't see the bigger picture, when we don't understand the greater picture of God, then the gospel and our being in church and coming to church is pretty much about ourselves. Our house, our car, our children, and all of that is great. All of that is great. But God has an amazingly big picture. And we need to understand that God wants us to connect the dots, not just between big prophetic utterances, not just between conferences of convergence and yearly conferences, but of everyday life, that when God speaks to us, that there is something in that word that pertains to this. There is something in this word that needs to work in you so that you can become the very manifestation of that word. That connects you to something much bigger than a local church. It connects us to the eternal purpose of God. And God will speak. I want to say to you that if we as Christians, as we as believers, if we do not pick up on this word, if we do not believe this word, if our lives, if we don't align our lives to this word, you know what God will do? He will simply wait. God's really good at waiting. He's got time. He's got eternity. Who of you have ever thought about outwaiting God and thinking by having still staper, I'm going to force God to speak to me? For how many of you have done that? How's that worked out for you? God is kind of patient. He's the epitome. He is patience. So God would, if we do not align ourselves and if we don't come to an understanding of God's word, if we don't understand it, we will never be established in the purposes of God. And then our lives as Christians becomes a series of meetings, and where sometimes we like to go and sometimes we don't want to go, and it becomes perplexing. Who of you have sometimes found, it's like, what is this all about? I'm going week in, week off, week in, week out. What is this really about? Is it about attendance? Is it about Bible knowledge? Is it about an experience with the Holy Spirit? What is it really about? And if we can't hook what we do on a prophetic intent of God, then soon your church will not be able to entertain you enough. No amount of human effort can keep you locked in, focused for unending time unless it is something that comes directly from God. It speaks in your spirit. It rejoices. You don't always understand it, but it jumps. It jumps. When you hear those words, you know, Fred didn't know the prophetic word in 1997. He was simply hearing what the Spirit of God was saying to him, and he released it here this morning. But, you know, in my back of my head, I've had that first prophecy for many years. It's the prophecy that brought us to Wellington. And I've had it many years. And when I heard the word, Neil told me what Fred said. And as he spoke, I just remembered, hey, I remember that. I remember that. There is that word again. There is that prophetic utterance again that connects me to why I'm here. If you cannot be prophetically or a word from God be connected to either a household or a movement or whatever, I want to tell you that something else greater will come and snatch you away. So we need to understand and we need to learn. We need to learn how to connect the dots. We need to connect prophetic word and what God has said over this valley, what God has said in His word concerning what He wants to do. And we need to connect the sermon that is being preached to that word. Because otherwise Christianity becomes a couple of topics with self-help that makes me better. And a lot of people are using that. Are using the gospel as a self-help program. I've got a couple of problems that I need to sort out, and I think God can do it for me. And then Yankor comes, and he preaches a word, and he says, it's not about you. It's not primarily about you. It's primarily about what God wants to do. It's primarily what God wants to do in our valley. It's primarily what God wants to do in the earth. And that is what I want to align myself with. And therefore, I don't all of a sudden go on to a program of, okay, now I shouldn't be self-centered. I've got to be other people-centered, and it's the one another's, because that's what good Christians do. No, it is, I understand the purpose of God. I understand that God has a greater plan, and God has somehow planted me in this geographical place. God has planted us, somehow gotten you to this place. And maybe you think, well, I just moved you, or I just grew up here. I want to tell you that God is very specific. The Word of God says God decides where people live and how long. So whether you are here for 40 years, 50 years, or 1 year, or 1 day, 1 week, God, if you believe that the steps of the righteous have been ordered by God, and you have spent a little bit of time with God, you pretty much hear not by chance. You are not here by chance. You are not here this morning by chance. You are here this morning so that God can connect a dot. Even when we come together in a celebration like this, I know some people think, okay, this is the shofar liturgy. We sing one song, then we do the announcement, then we do the worship, then we take the offering. Thank you, Entas. And then we preach, and then if there's time with minister, and then we have coffee. But I want to say to you that God wants to speak, wanted to speak something in the first song. God wanted to speak and communicate something, even the announcement. God wanted to say something in the worship. And He wants to connect something in the worship to something in the preaching. And He wants to connect something in the preaching with the ministry that is to follow. And He wants to connect, when we drink coffee and we start talking about not just the rugby of yesterday, but wow, what has God spoken to me about this morning? And we start connecting the dots. In our relationships, it's about connecting the dots. That's why we come together in little groups and we discuss, because it helps us to connect the dots. And every sermon is not only for me, but it's for us. It's amazing when you start reading the Bible how few scriptures there are about a very individualized relationship with God. And I know the West have done us an amazing disservice that have told us that it's all about my personal relationship with Jesus, and everyone has their own covenant with Jesus. You do not have your own personal covenant with Jesus. Go and read your Bible. We have been all been saved into one new covenant. He baptizes, He saves us where? Into the body. That's where He saves us in. You know, half of the letters that you read in the New Testament was written to churches. It wasn't written to individuals. But we interpret it individually. And we make it our own, and that's good. But if we do that at the expense of the bigger picture, we don't connect the dots. And then our lives become a lot of dots, because then we watch TBN, CBN, God TV, local church, buy the books, buy the tapes, buy the DVD series. So many dots that we never connect. So we never get the picture. So we get the blessing of the one event. We get the blessing of the one teaching. But we never grow up. We cannot see how it really relates to our lives and why God has us here in this place. That's why I want to urge us this morning that we would become really experts at connecting the dots. Because I want to say to you that if you start connecting the dots, if you start connecting Sundays together, if you start connecting sermons together, if you're going to start connecting prophetic word together, you're going to start something, seeing something in God that you've never seen before. And everything that you do is going to take on a new meaning, because you're going to understand that it is the next step in God. You're going to understand it's not haphazard. It's not each one on their own mission, but it's a plan of God that is unfolding. It's quiet in here. Somebody just say amen to make me feel better. Oh, thank you. Okay. So, Honor, with Yankor, with Yanko's word that spoke about that is not really about us? How do I connect it to that, those couple of prophetic words? Now, please hear me in this. I'm not saying it's the only prophetic word. Okay, so how does that pertain to me, and how do I connect that to the word that Yanko preached about one another? If Wellington's going to become a destination, if Wellington's going to be a place of refuge, who are they going to come to? People will seek refuge. They will seek, people that are broken will come here. And who will they meet? You. You. They're going to meet you. And you're going to be the answer, and you're going to be part of the manifestation of that prophetic word. That's why you need to start not living for yourself, because when other people come, you will be inconvenienced. I don't want to inconvenience you now, but it is true. But if it's only for inconvenience sake, God doesn't say, okay, let's see how much I can inconvenience them to see how committed they are. No, God says, I just want to put my heart in them that they will understand that I died for them and I sacrificed for them, and they will do likewise for others. So Yanko's sermon is not, that was a very interesting sermon. Please, whenever there's a preacher, you can do it with me, but don't do it to any other preacher. Don't tell them that was an interesting sermon. Never tell them that was interesting. Just tell them it was horrible or it was great, but interesting. Really? What do I do with it? I want to ask you, what do you do with sermons? Do you mull over them during the week? Do you chew over them again? Do you take maybe a recording or a note that you've made, or maybe just one scripture that God has highlighted, and you start praying that into your life, or you start recognizing, hey, I'm pretty selfish. You know, I'm using all of my time for myself. God, please help me. And it's not, once again, if it's just about you and your ownership of your own life, because God has given us a little bit of, really, we think that we own and determine our own lives, but God has simply given us stewardship. And one day He will ask you, what did you do with your life? So He's given you stewardship of a life. And when you have stewardship, when you have ownership, you can pretty much do with it what you like. You know, if I have a car and I don't wash my car and somebody says, you should really wash your car, I can tell him, yeah, you're right, but it's my car. I'll wash it if I want to. But if it's someone else's car, and the owner of car says, hey, the car's kind of dirty, why don't you clean that? Then because it is the owner's car, I have a responsibility, I have a stewardship to respond in a way that doesn't suit me, but suits the one who owns it. And it's the same with the gospel. We haven't really been given ownership of anything, but we've been given the stewardship. Even Paul says, to him has been given the stewardship of the mystery. In other words, to work with it, but to be accountable to another for it. And playing safe, unfortunately, in the gospel, it's problematic. Whoever you remember that parable when Jesus said the lord of the house went away and he gave to one 10 talents, to one 5 talents, and to another 2 talents. And you know the story, 10 talents got another 10, 5 talents got another 5. 2 talents didn't lose it, just played it safe. Hid it under a rock. When the master came, he says, here's my 2. What does the master tell him? You useless servant. I know this is, I'm not saying that any of you are useless. I'm simply quoting a scripture. You do with it what you want to. But God has given us a stewardship. God has given you Jesus Christ. God has given you His Holy Spirit, by which He reveals things to you. He reveals things to you. So when He reveals things to you, He will ask an account of you. The Word of God says, to whom much is given, much will be required. Who wants to have a lot? Not many now. But praise God, if we work with what God has given us, if we apply what God has given us for His good, and there is a multiplication and He multiplies it, then we get rewarded in the end. This is a win situation. We can risk. I want to say to you that even in a celebration like here this morning, the Word of God says when you come together, one as a song, one as a teaching, one as a special revelation or a word of prophecy, and He says, and all of this is for the edification of the body of Christ. It's for the building up of the body. So whenever one of you has a word, it's not to come up here and say, hey, I can hear God. Can you see me glow? No. I had five angels river dancing on my duvet last night. No, it's not about that. It's about you receiving something from God for all. So, if you have something and you don't bring it, you're robbing us. You're robbing us. So, we need to be able to discern that. And everybody should have this mind. I want to come. That's what Yankor said. We come to church not to get, but to give. What do you have to give? We give ourselves corporately in worship. We give ourselves, we give financially. We give a portion of our attention while someone is preaching. We give ourselves in fellowship to one another. But then there's also this amazing thing that God, the gifts that God has released through His Holy Spirit. And I totally agree with that scripture that wonderful young woman brought about, that the gifts will become useless when? When perfect and perfection has come. That will be at the second coming of Jesus. Then we don't need prophecy. Then we don't need speaking in tongues, because we will know Him as He knows us. We will not need healing, because there will be no sickness. It is then. Until then, we need those gifts, because that is what God has given for the building up of the body. But we need to be able to connect the dots, that my bringing something, my bringing a spiritual song, or me bringing a word of prophecy, is connecting a dot. It is painting a fuller picture of what God wants to do here this morning. It is not separate little activities. They are all connected to one another. So when Hentas preached about sons being sons of God and being understanding that we are not orphans, it is exactly that thing that says, okay, God, so you can give me stuff because, and I don't want to use it for myself, because that's what orphans do. Orphans gather things for themselves. Orphans don't like sharing. So, for an orphan lives a selfish life. So it is connected to Yankor's word. It's not, okay, last week was living for yourself, this week is sons and orphans. And no, it's God just expanding the picture. It's and we've got to become better at looking at, okay, God, how does that pertain to last week's word? How does it pertain to the word that was spoken by Fred, the prophetic word? How does that pertain to words that have been spoken previously? And when we start making those connections, and it's the Spirit that does it, and as we mull over it, it becomes clear. Hey, there's another word. Hey, this is the same as that. We start seeing a bigger picture, and we start seeing what God is actually busy with. And you know what happens then? Who of you have read a good book and you've read one chapter and then you can't put the book down because you just wanna read the next chapter? Okay, maybe I should just make that more modern. Who of you have watched the series? Now I've got your attention. Who of you have watched the series and just couldn't wait for the next installment? Just couldn't wait. In fact, some of you even go onto the internet and try to download it from Pirate Bay. I know none of you do this, but some people do. I've heard this. This is horrible. But there's an excitement because you understand that there's something. You've understood the first couple of episodes of the series, and you don't understand everything because there's some mystery, and you know there's going to be a twist in the end, but you can't wait for the next installment. Church should be like that. Church should be like that. I wonder what God's going to say this week. I wonder what God is going to release into our midst for us to apply, for us to pray, for us to start living, for us to start changing into. That's why, if we have this understanding, if we have an off weekend, it will be the first thing you do when you come back. It's like, what was the sermon about? What did God speak to us? Can I get the recording? Who has notes? That's what we do with series, right? If we've missed a couple, we catch up. And we binge watch. How many of you binge what? Binge sermon when you've been away for a month? Because we don't connect. We don't connect it to a bigger picture. We don't connect it to a grander scheme. We don't connect it with an overarching theme. It is just another sermon. Another topic. And we struggle. Then we struggle over time. When it starts getting hard, we struggle to find the meaning. Who of you have waited a while for things? For who has it been easy? For who of you just sometimes complain a little bit? Just a little bit. I know not you, but even just a little bit. Who of you can get negative pretty quickly? Negas. That's a new word we've learned during Shofar. Negas. And, you know, Niels's sermon on contentment. It was as I could. God, that word was released in 1997, God. And most probably years before that, and before that, and before Andrew Murray, that same word has been released over and over and over again. And God, you've just waited for a people that would say, that's us. You see, and in that process, we need to be content when it's happening, and we need to be content when it's not. And our contentment is not in what we see realized, but our contentment is in we know what God has said. And we don't just look at what we can see around us, but we can see the unseen. Which Paul talks about in the second book of Corinthians when he says that we are perplexed, we are confused sometimes, but we are not driven to despair. He says we are pressed from every side, but we are not crushed. He says we suffer sometimes, but we are knocked down, but we are never counted out. Why? And he says this momentary light affliction, this slight distress of this passing hour is forevermore producing a weight of glory for us that we cannot fathom, because we fix our eyes on the things that are unseen. Because the things that are unseen is eternal. The things that I can see, that I can perceive with my natural senses, they are temporary. Situations, circumstances, life stages, financial situations, they are temporary. They are real. I'm not this morning advocating that we are saying they're not real. They are, but they are not truth. The real truth is the unseen realm. And prophecy is that it's a picture from an unseen realm. It's a picture of things that we haven't seen with our natural eye. That we haven't seen revival break out here in Wellington again. That we haven't seen this becoming a destination yet. That we haven't seen people streaming in, multitude and multitude of people in the valley of decision. We haven't seen it, but we've seen it because we have heard a word from God. And we understand a word from God. We understand the prophetic. It's like when Abram, when God says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to take you out of your father's land. I'm going to give you a land and your descendants are going to be like the stars in the heavens and the sands on the beaches. He says, I'm going to give you that. And from that moment, it says, as an Abram saw the promise from afar and he greeted it. High promise. You're mine. And he said he called it his own. It didn't manifest until Jacob. Two generations on. But it said of this, when he started speaking like that, it says that God says, that's my people. I'm not ashamed to be called their God. I'm not ashamed because they see unseen things and they live unseen things as if it is reality. It's called simply faith. Without which we cannot please God. I want to encourage us today. If you think, I'm just coming to church, I'm just filling a pew, I'm just sitting in a seat, I'm just chucking a couple of rand in the offering. I'm just here to fill the seats. I'm just here to listen to another sermon. I want to say, think higher of firstly of God and think higher of your ability. I want to say to you that every single one of you that is sitting here and you've been brought and been placed by God in this body, you have an incredible, incredible, important function to fulfill in building this body up. That's why gossip is so devastating, because it doesn't build up, it tears down. That is why division is so devastating in a church, because it breaks down. That's why offense is so devastating in a church, because it breaks down. It does not build up. God wants... this little cuckoo clock, if you think, please don't think that life is as simple as that, I wish. Did you see that none of those lines crossed once? I just saw the biggest dot to dot at the moment is as a Mona Lisa. It crisscrosses. It took the guy 9.5 hours nonstop to connect the dots. 9.5 hours. When you look at it, you can't see the numbers. And I thought, man, that's more like my life. That's right there. And then I think, and God's got 7 billion of us all together in a plan that He made before the foundations of the world. Before the foundations of the world, He had this big picture with a lot of dots. And you're the dot. You've got a number on it. And He wants to connect you. One dot cannot make the picture. One dot can change the whole picture. And one dot can bring great definition or great distortion to the picture. But one dot does not make a picture. Therefore, me and Jesus only, two dots. Small picture. Very, very small picture. But you and I, connected together with prophetic dots and plans of God and purpose of God and giftings of God. Man, if we start connecting that, a beautiful picture of Jesus will be shown to the world. You cannot by yourself be the fullness of that picture. So I wanna urge you, if you don't know what prophetic words has been spoken over Wellington, over your life, over this church, over the church in this valley, about what God wants to do in the world, I want to urge you to start reading and start researching. And many people say, but Jan, you can't build your life on that prophecy. If it's from God, why not? If it's on God, if it's spoken on God, why can't you? Jesus lived to fulfill prophecy long before the New Testament was written. Jesus was prophesied. He fulfilled so many prophecies that you cannot deny that he is the Christ. Just by looking at the amount of prophecies, it would just be impossible for one person to fulfill all those conditions spoken by prophets over thousands of years, all of them fulfilled in one person. And what is the spirit of prophecy? It's not to tell you what's going to happen next week. It's not spiritual soothsaying. It is ultimately, what is the spirit of prophecy? It's the testimony of Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus. So as you walk in your purpose and as you walk in your calling, and as the testimony of your life and your successes and, yes, your failures too, and how you recover from that, are all pictures, and we are a gallery of God's grace that people walk in, and somehow, even sometimes in our worst moments, seeing Jesus. Isn't that much more exciting than living for than the mortgage, the next holiday, the bigger car? There's got to be more. And here in this gospel, and this is just one word. This is a minuscule part. This is maybe like one dot in God's plan. But it's a dot that is given us. It's one of the dots. It's a couple of the dots. Because I want to tell you that many other nations of the world has also received that revival is going to break out. There's not a nation almost in the world that hadn't received that. And we live in, so who is it now? Us or them? We need to start being able to live in the and of God. God sometimes says and. It's the kindness and the severity of God. Full of grace and truth. Faithful and true. Lamb and lion. Which is it now? And. Because God's got a lot of dots. God's got more dots than we can imagine. God has more encountering moments than we can ever imagine. And God is encountering moments for you. God has encountering moments for you where He wants to deposit and impart things to you that your eyes have not seen. Your ears have not heard. Maybe you think that you've seen it all. You haven't. If you think that you've seen it all, you simply stop looking. If you think that you have heard it all, you've simply stopped listening. Because what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, what the heart of man has not received or the mind of man has not conceived, those are the kind of things that God already has for us. God's got much more for you. God has got more for you than you are currently expressing and manifesting. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? It's like this morning when Wendy brought that word, eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has prepared, and opened my ears to hear when Becker sang that song, opened my ears to hear, my eyes to see. It was like the next moment I was just in my Bible. It was like God flooding me with scriptures. I'm not preaching on that this morning. He said, yes, it's fine, just read. Why? Because I believed. When Wendy said, eye has not seen, I believe the word of God. I said, God, right now, because we sometimes, when we hear that scripture, we said, yeah, that's sometime in the future. When? Does the Bible say 2 weeks from now? After you fasted and prayed? After you've read 5,014 scriptures? No? He simply says, but by my Spirit I will reveal it. Do you believe that the Spirit of God is here? If not, why not? God's not limited. He says, as our Father, if we ask Him, He'll give to us. If we ask with the right attitude, God, give me something I can be of value. God, let me have something I can add to the building up of this body, God. It's sometimes sad how easy it is for us to break down with our words, but how hard we find it to build. It's almost like breaking down comes naturally, but building up comes supernaturally. And we have been called to live supernaturally. That's what makes us different from the world. There's a lot of dots. Look forward, look back. Take the word, chew it. Say, God, how does this tie in? God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. The word says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God that gives liberally and without fault finding. How many of you, when you pray that, really trust God that the next thought that comes into your mind is the wisdom of God? Then a word comes up, you say, oh, I wonder if this is God. The Bible speaks against that. The Bible says, the only thing that you've got to have with this, ask, but ask with believing and believe that you will receive. Because if you don't believe that you will be received, you're like a double-minded man who's unstable in all of ways, and he must not even presume that you will receive anything from God. You see, and then when we read the Bible, it's not 66 different books and 590 different stories. It's actually one story that overlaps and shows us the little dots and the numbers, and God shows us how to connect them. I want to encourage us. Connect your life to the eternal Word of God. Connect your life. Believe in God and you will be established. Believe in His prophets and you will succeed. So believe in God, believe in the Word of God, and believe in prophetic word that has been tested. The Bible's got a safeguard. Prophecy is not dangerous. It's only dangerous if it's mismanaged. And the Bible is full of safeguards for prophets and prophecy. Full of them. That's why prophecy needs to be public. So it can be judged. Beoordeel. Nie veroordeel nie. Beoordeel. So we need to connect what we're doing now with the eternal Word of God, and we need to connect what God is doing now with the prophetic Word of God that speaks of our now and of our future, and we need to connect what God wants to accomplish ultimately in His Word. And then we're on this journey of connecting dots. My prayer for us all is that our lives will not be a series of unrelated dots. Doing it online. And it took me 2 minutes to find number 18 because it wasn't next to number 16. Number 17. My mind wanted to go there and it was in another place. And I had to look for it. So Father, my prayer for those that desire, I pray, God, the ability to just open. Grant to us all, God, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. And thank You, God, that You are painting this beautiful picture. You've preordained this beautiful picture of what it should look like and what it is, God. Now, Father, I pray that You'll give to us individually and You'll give to us corporately the ability to connect a dot, that our lives would become a connecting dot, God. That we will start seeing together. And as we see the picture unfolding, that we won't enter into presumption. But God, we will be so excited about what You're doing. That as we start seeing this picture, God, and I know there's going to be more mystery than picture for us at some stages. But Father, I pray that we will start seeing what You see, God. We will start believing what You know, God. And that we will connect our lives to a bigger picture. Connect our lives to You, Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I pray that our meetings together, small ones, big ones, conferences, whatever, God, our normal lives would become these beautiful connection points where we connect with you and connect with one another. And the body, as each joint starts supplying, each joint supplies. The body will build itself up in love into Christ, who is the head.
Ek het net so 'n woord van edifying of encouragement wat ek net wil deel met julle. En ek voel eintlik so 'n bietjie skuldig, want ek het gevoel die Here sê ek moet kom share voor die tyd. En dit was so mooi in lyn gewees met die preek vanoggend. Terwyl ek eintlik staan in worship het, dit was moeilik om te worship, want die Here het vir my gesê, kyk net 'n bietjie wat gebeur. En die Here het gesê, kyk na hulle harte, kyk na die mense. En ek het regtig iets ervaar wat ek baie lanklaas ervaar het. Ek het vandag gekom en ek gaan weer gaan. Ek doen die internship van Shofar en ons is geleë in Franshoek. En ons gaan gereeld, elke naweek gaan ons na ander Shofar gemeente toe. En in my aftye dan doen ek, kom ek op my eie, kyk ek, explore ek nog. En die Here het net vandag vir my gesê dat in die worship, dat die mense wat hierso is, se harte is pure. Die mense hierso, se harte is vir my. Hy het gesê, hulle is connected met my. En toe daar gedagte opgekom, en ek het nie geweet wat het beteken, tot ek nou meer kon hoor wat die Here wou sê nie, en hy het gesê, Herman, sien jy, dat hierdie gemeente, hierdie potensiaal, of hy het eerder gesê, Wellington, hierdie potensiaal, vir die waai wil in plaas te vind. So wat gebeur het is, paar maande terug, nou het na ons breek, was ek in 'n meeting gewees, baie, baie toevallig, of dit was so beplan deur die Here, dat ek parel toe was, die oggend, en ons was klomp mense, ek het saam met 'n boer gegaan in die omgewing, en hy het my saamgenooi na hierdie saam bid geleentheid toe, in die parel, en het is klomp besigheidsmense, wat saamkom en hulle bid vir die vallei. Hulle sê, ons wil hê revival moet plaasvind in mense se harte, en dit moet uitgaan, na die hele vallei toe. En ons het daai oggend gebid en 'n profesie het uitgekom en gesê revival gaan plaasvind en dit gaan binnekort plaasvind. Maar dit gaan plaasvind wanneer die harte van die mense gekonnekteer is met die Here. En ek glo regtig die profesie is vir die hele Wellington. Maar die Here sê ook julle harte en julle fokus moet reg wees vanoggend, want wanneer die Here gaan begin beweeg, moet julle saam beweeg. So julle gaan gekonnekteer moet bly met die Here en julle gaan moet fokus en moet kyk waar die Here se hand beweeg en julle gaan moet saam beweeg. En ek glo die Here wil dit ook vir Shofar sê vanoggend. En ook maar net vir elkeen wat hierso sit, en dit is so mooi gewees, Jan, wat jy gesê het, wat jy sê met die profesies vir die mense. So julle hoor hierdie en julle moet gaan hoor by die Here verder en aangaan. En ja, jylle harte en jylle worship, ek bedoel, dis wanneer mens kyk waar mens hart is in worship, om te kyk waar die mens hart is, en Here wil net regtig vanoggend vir julle sê dat hy het groot goed beplan, en die tyd kom, en die tyd is naby, dis dalk nie 2 maande nie, dalk nog 3 jaar, maar dis tyd om in te groei, en dis tyd om ons harte in lyn te kry met die Here, want wanneer hy gaan beweeg, moet ons reg wees, daar gaan nou nie nog tyd wees om te sê, hoor, nou wil ek reg kry nie. En ek glo wat ek ervaar het vanoggend was om te sê, maar daar is potentiaal in Wellington. So, net julle bemoedig en sê, waar is ons harte? Kom ons kry dit reg. Kom ons kry dit reg vir Here.